It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
All of agriculture has gotten the memo, I think, that they should be concerned about the environment and sustainability. Sustainability means more than just taking care of the environment. And we want to touch on that a little bit, too, because it ultimately has to get into staying in business, which is tough for agriculture these days. But I have two guests with me today that are covering a really important aspect of this. One is a dairy farmer. One works for dairy farmers, but they got a really unique perspective on the environment. And I'm proud to have with me today Krista Harden. Krista is the Executive Vice President of Global Environmental Strategy, that's a mouthful, at the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy. And you're a former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. And Krista, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you, Roger. I'm happy to be here. And thank you for letting us talk about dairy and the environment.
Well, I'm happy to talk about dairy and the environment, and you've got a dairy farmer with you, which is, it's kind of an interesting role. We'll talk about that. I mean, and she's one of your bosses, too. She's a dairy farmer, and when you work for an organization like you do, you're working for dairy farmers. Tara Vander Dusen, you're not the average dairy farmer. You're an environmental scientist and a blogger, too. Could you explain that?
Yes, so I work on our dairy as well as my other dairy clients throughout New Mexico on environmental projects, whether that be regulations, environmental regulations, permitting, water conservation, and of course, nutrient management. Everybody's favorite thing, right? Cow poop? So that's my main focus. And my husband and I both dairy farm in New Mexico with his parents and his family. We're a large farm, but we're family owned and operated. And I think that it would probably surprise people to know, you know, we milk 6,000 cows, but we're all there every day working together. We each have our own focus in our own area that we all work together for, you know, a better dairy.
6,000 cows. Somebody's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, are they not?
Yes, the cows are milked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day, even Christmas.
Now, that's a lot of work. That's why some people don't want to do it, I think. They have to work these crazy long hours. Krista, you have an environmental program that's associated with the dairy industry. How did it come to be? Why does it exist?
Well, it's interesting, as Tara was talking about her own dairy and family involvement, every dairy across the country is different. They have to farm and produce this wonderful product, but under very different situations. So, you know, they came together to say, you know, we need programs, we need initiatives that help us deal with a very changing climate, with more pressures in farming. We want to make sure that we are doing what we do in a responsible way, in a way that we can not only answer to the outside world, to the consuming public, but to ourselves as well. So almost all of our initiatives, I'd say all of them, are really started with the farmers themselves saying we need more tools. It may be innovation, it may be different kinds of resources, but also ways to help themselves. And so that's everything kind of comes from the grassroots up.
Well, Tara, you are a dairy farmer, but you're an environmental scientist as well. So I kind of wonder how much help you need. I mean, you probably understand it because if you're an environmental scientist, how do you combine that, your training, your expertise, your interest, and into this role as one of the voluntary leaders in the industry? How does that all come together, and what do you expect from the organization to help you do your job?
Yeah, so as Kristen mentioned, that, you know, it's very diverse for each region, dairy farming is. There's 37,000 dairy farm families across the United States, and each of their sustainability journeys is going to be a little different. But as an industry, our industry-wide movement is to improve and continue to become more effective stewards of our land. And so for me, when I go to any of my clients, even my own farm, I try to really think about what each producers, each farmer's needs are, and really give suggestions to them that are specific to their farms. And so what's great is having so many tools and resources with Chris's organization, just being able to give me maybe new ideas. We have lots of new technology out there, and I think of some of the programs they have that help us say, can this technology do what it really is meant to do? And can it really help farmers the way they say it helps farmers? And so I love that we have them for our support, even though it may be so regionally specific.
When you look at the needs that the dairy farmers have, what are the aspects of the environment? What do they need the most help with?
I think that really does vary where you're actually farming. There are folks who have to deal with water quality issues, certain parts of the U.S., and then there's water quantity issues in another part of the country. So the issues do vary. The challenges vary. There's some common threads for everyone. Obviously, dealing with animal waste and manure, that is one that every dairy has to think about how to deal with that. But there are a number of other challenges, urban encroachment, just the changing of the environment. Folks who used to farm and produce dairy one way, their grandparents did, it's very different today. So it's being able to adapt, to recognize those challenges, help turn them into opportunities that we're trying to help our dairy farmers see.
And so in our area in New Mexico, water scarcity is our biggest concern, or one of our biggest concerns. It's definitely the lack of water. And so for us, I try to help our farmers with reducing water use, and that can start in the barn. In New Mexico, we're actually regulated on the amount of water we can use in the barn. So a dairy farmer can use 1 gallon of water up to 4 times in their barn. We might start by cooling our milk with that water. Then we can clean our equipment. Then we can flush out the back of the barn and collect that manure into our lagoons. We collect all of our rain water runoff into our lagoons. And then we ultimately apply that water onto our fields to grow crops to feed our cows. And so by doing things like that, we can become more efficient. As you mentioned, like, there's a social, economic, and environmental components to the sustainability word. And so we can make improvements to our water quality, our water use, while reducing costs.
You know, one thing that strikes me when we talk about agriculture across the United States is just how different it is. And I would imagine, if you're trying to represent the entire dairy industry, a large share are dry lot, but then there are those people that are strictly still going out onto pastures. What's the challenge of trying to take care of both of those kind of operations?
That's a valid question, and what I would say is that we listen to the farmers themselves. They bring up the issues. They talk among themselves about the challenges. So it really is a grassroots effort coming from the farmers themselves to talk about what is happening in their part of the country. They meet, they talk, they share ideas, they share concerns, and then collectively together, we try to find those solutions. And innovation, new technologies, new ideas are bubbling up all the time. But you really, you know, there is no one size fits all. There is no one solution that fits for every dairy. So we really have to listen to our dairy producers themselves. And again, they talk a lot to each other. They do share with each other. And that is the beginning of looking for that collective solution.
Well, Tara, if you have 6,000 cows, you're a large operation to many people. And there are people that are in Wisconsin or Minnesota or somewhere, and they've got 50 cows. What do you find that you have in common?
I think that for every dairy farmer, no matter where you're at in the United States, it goes back to your cow care. Every dairy farmer cares the most about their cows. That is the highest priority. A healthy cow is going to produce higher quality milk. They're going to produce more milk. And so I think we can always find common ground in that aspect. We have all the same similar concerns when you look at the big picture of things, I think. It's just our solutions to get there and then the small details. But really, I mean, we're all trying to provide our cows with the best, you know, habitat for them to live in. And you mentioned the barn open lot versus just different styles. You know, that's specific to each dairy farmer in their region, again, because ultimately, they're making the decisions about their barn type, their lot type, based on what would be best for their cows.
Krista, if you're working on all these issues too, and the issues that keep bubbling up right now are people that are concerned with livestock, particularly ruminants, because of methane. So cows belch. That's not the only way that they their gas is expressed, but belching is probably the bigger share of it, and it contributes a lot of methane. I mean, how can you deal with that?
Well, I think first, you're exactly right. There is a lot of interest and probably misunderstanding, if you will, about really the contributions of dairy. It's really only 2% of our greenhouse gases nationwide. When you say that number, most people want to add a couple of zeros at least. You know, they say, no, you're bigger than that. You look at
2%. Let me stop you there for a second.
Sure.
So it's dairy contributes 2% of all greenhouse gases. Is that it?
For the U.S.,
I see. Methane is a little stronger than carbon dioxide.
Right. Well, that's true. But yeah, even that, it's just misunderstood the contributions of what dairy does and how much we're reducing our emissions as well, and how farmers are making great strides, innovative strides, research, science, all these things are going in to try to find solutions. So I'm looking at the whole picture of dairy, looking at the product, the nutritious product, that is being produced by dairy cows, how that benefits all of our population. So looking at the totality of what's happened in dairy is what we ask people to do, and to know that we are continuing to strive to make sure that our contributions to the environment are positive, that we're part of the solutions, not the problems.
You know, I had a guest on that was doing some research and using seaweed to feed. Do you get involved in helping some of that research along?
We do. We partner with a number of private groups. We partner with academia. There are a lot of the land-grant universities who are really focused on these types of, you know, who would have thought of that, you know, just a few years ago, what kind of solutions might happen. So that's certainly something the dairy farmers themselves want to promote and be involved in.
And could you explain methane digesters?
Well, I'm not a scientist. I want to tell you right now, Roger. So I'm trying to give you a working definition, and Tara may and have more details as well. But it really is taking that methane and turning it into a fuel. So there is a scientific process that happens. It is captured, right?
So instead, that's from the manure.
Right.
I mean, the belching, that has to be something else. But
from the manure.
The manure itself,
and that's what the methane digester deals with, right. Yes. The capture from the burp is a different situation. But from the manure itself, it is captured. And then it can be turned into an energy source. Sometimes it's a small source, and the dairies and the operations nearby use that and others sell it to the grid.
I tell you, there's a lot to explain. Tara, I'm wondering, have you got 20,000 or so people that you communicate with? Because you've got you're kind of like between 6,000 cows and 20,000 people, you know. So what surprises you when you post a blog or when you get feedback? What's the kind of things you hear that say you think, I didn't see that coming? And what do you find interesting in your communications with consumers?
I think consumers are often surprised at how sustainable dairy truly is and how the milk they buy in their fridge comes from a farm less than 100 miles away. You know, there's so many misconceptions out there about dairy farming, and they're just surprised to know, dairy is a local product. Like, I can just buy any milk on the shelf, and it's fairly local to me. And so I think always they're surprised, too, in... I will share about manure management. We guys were just talking about a minute ago that one of the ways to improve our sustainability is by improving our soil health. And so I love sharing with consumers the value of cow manure and that we can improve the organic matter in our soils by incorporating cow manure. And then the healthier the soil, the more carbon the soil can take up, which improves our atmosphere. And simple, I mean, that's not a simple process, but a simple explanation. People are just so surprised. They've heard so many other things. And so it's always an interesting conversation. I love asking people, you know, what did I change your mind on today? Or what are you seeing from a new perspective? Because it's always just so interesting to see where people are coming from and how now how they feel about dairy.
You know, when you talk about improving the soil, I have to admit some of my bias. I grew up on a farm in Illinois. And when I go to New Mexico, I kind of feel like it looks like a lot of sand. Can you actually see evidence that because of putting the manure into it, you're building up that organic matter, and that it's not that desert kind of land that people picture, but you see it getting richer from adding the dairy manure?
Yeah, so that's such a great question. We actually have an active sand dune in the back of my family's dairy that I grew up on. And we have done some research projects. We've paired with our land grant universities as well as NRCS to look at ways we could add, like, cow manure. You want to apply it at agronomic rates. But since we have such sandy soil, what if we added more to try to build up that soil health so it doesn't blow away? We have horrible dust storms in New Mexico, the haboos, and in West Texas. And so we are looking at ways to use that cow manure to build up that topsoil and stop that blowing dust that is such an issue. And so I don't know that we have a solution yet, but it's something we're working towards collectively as a dairy community on my end as a private consultant and with our land grant universities.
You know, I did a podcast with somebody that was farming up in the middle of Wyoming, and a lot of that high plains desert, you think, I don't know how they could ever grow anything up there. But primarily, just from using manure, they really turned the soil around, and they had an aerial shot that showed dark, almost black soil in the middle of what otherwise was the traditional kind of look of desert and gray and brown. And it was all manure.
Yes, and I think for us too, it's looking at what crops that we're growing now. In the past, we may have grown alfalfa a little bit and even corn, and now we're looking at new crops, and we're working with our nutritionists to incorporate those into our cows' diets. But we just grew our first canola field this year, and we've had really great success with it. We are growing a lot of hay grazer that requires a lot less water, just much more drought-resistant crops. And so I think that combination of trying to find the crops that need less water and improving that soil health can, I mean, what a positive impact.
Yeah. And I think that when we talk about water, Chris, you know, that it varies a great deal, because we get back in the Midwest, you may have farmers that are getting 40 plus, or you're from the South and there's, you know, 40 plus inches of rain and what, maybe you're 15, 20 or something like that. A little bit. I mean, it's 12. Oh, okay. But the surprising thing about that is that there's an aquifer in under New Mexico that starts way up in Nebraska somewhere. And but do you as an industry try to either track or have an idea of how much you may be drawing out of that aquifer that's been there for millions of years?
Sure. I mean, there are obviously federal government agencies that we work with who are tracking these kinds of data. But, you know, our farmers want to know as well. They really want to, you know, be able to have good data, not just anecdotal, which we did for a long time, to have good data to know exactly what is happening. But the climate is changing so much. Areas that did not have the water problems, just take for this year in the Midwest, if you think about how much rain they've had. And it's a different need to cope right now with that. So sometimes the past science and all the figures and all the data in the world does not help you deal with Mother Nature this year. So we have to look for solutions and innovations that help farmers deal with the problems of the day.
With all the various dairy products, some of them you actually come about by taking water out of them. So if you are you with taking water out of a product, what do you do with that water when it's removed?
So we have a cheese plant in our town, which is exactly the removal of water. And so they end up with a lot of water, and they work with local farmers to recycle that water out onto their fields. They'll incorporate it with what we call the green water from the dairy, or there's a lot of different ways that you can incorporate it into the farming. But essentially that water can be reused to grow crops again. It's all about, you know, sampling what's in the lagoons, and figuring out exactly what the nutrients look like in there, and then figuring out what your crops need and applying it based on those. And so all of that waste, I use air quotes, can be turned into, you know, a resource.
you know, dairy farmers have to look at this as an investment. So they're checking off, and people have heard us talk about checkoffs before. So it's they voted to assess themselves. But the goal is to have the industry make money. And, there's more to it than this. I mean, I think it's admirable that they want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And they cohabit this earth. And so climate change and all these issues they participate in. And to try to get an industry to deal with that is again, it's admirable that you can take that on. But at some point in time, there got to be people saying, well, does this help us sell more milk? Do we have any evidence that consumers are more inclined to purchase products from an industry like this that are doing the kinds of things you're doing to improve the environment?
Roger, as we talked earlier, I'm fairly new to the dairy industry specifically, but I've been involved in agriculture my whole life, having grown up on a farm in Georgia. These questions are universal, not just about dairy. How do we tell our story? How do we explain what we do? How does a consuming public understand that farmers are taking money out of their own pockets to pull together, to do research, to do promotion, to do work collectively what they cannot do as individuals? And that benefits the consumer. So you can have better research. You can have more diverse research when you bring those monies together and you work as an industry together. Telling that story is more complex and complicated than the general public really wants to know. But I think in agriculture, we have to use all the tools we have, including people like Tara, to talk about it in a very personal level, very local level, about what she's doing, why she's doing it, but also that the whole nation group of dairy farmers, 38,000 of them, how they come together, and then they work with other aspects of the industry to make this product better, to provide this nutritious product, but also take care of the environment and be part of the solution to environmental challenges. But telling that story is something that we appreciate you letting us do today. This broadcast, but others as well, making sure we're getting that word out so they do understand that that investment by farmers makes a difference for them.
And to add on to that, it really does. Sharing your story really does make a difference. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with consumers online that told me they had stopped buying dairy products because of something they had seen or something they had heard online or something they had read. And by simply just talking to me and me sharing our day-to-day life, I mean, what I'm sharing is not hard. It's just my life. And we can change their minds and we can show them the truth and really set the record straight. I think for a long time, dairy farmers and farmers in general weren't telling their story, and someone else started telling it for us. And I think that's where we got to the place we're at now of kind of playing catch up. And so I'm glad that we're using, you know, social media and simple tools to be able to share our story and reach so many more people. I live in rural America. I don't interact with people from the city every day, but by being on Instagram, I can interact with so many more people that are outside of my community, outside of my agriculture bubble.
Well, you know what? You're just reinforcing a feeling that I've had, is that anytime a consumer has a chance to get it directly from a farmer, that makes a big difference. And say, okay, I trust him. I hear what you're saying. I believe. But in addition to this, you still have to have the companies that are saying, our dairy farmers are doing this. We are environmentally conscious. And, you know, I look at that, and I think practically every industry now is claiming that. Some are believed more than others. You know, there's some people say, of course they're going to say that. But I do think maybe the public still wants to give farmers the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, if they're doing this and they've got these programs to help themselves, that's impressive.
Yeah, to add to that, I mean, as a dairy farmer and as a mother, I live on my dairy farm. I use the same water as my cows, so I can promise you I care about protecting our groundwater. I also serve milk and yogurt and cheese to my girls every single day, and so I care just as much as every other parent out there about making sure my kids get the nutrition they need and that it's healthy products. And, you know, as a dairy farmer, I know I can feel good about that, and I love sharing that with other moms and other consumers. You can feel good about having dairy products. This is our sustainability story.
And it is a good story. But stories are stories in a way, in that you finally have to get down into measurement. So how do you measure whether or not you're making that progress?
And that's something I think that we did not do in agriculture for a very long time. We trusted that the anecdotal was enough, that compassion and commitment to doing the right thing, being good stewards, that I think that so many of us felt the public would just accept that and would that would be enough. So we're the only industry who's done a life cycle analysis to really look at what our role is in the environment. And that is quite a huge undertaking for the U.S. dairy industry. But knowing that we cannot just rely, as you say, on the story, but have the data, have information to back that up. And the farmers continue to, again, collectively invest in making sure we do have good science, we are measuring, we do have standards. So we know what we're talking about. It's not just the great story. It's based up with science and data. We know we have more to do, and we're going to keep doing that.
So you get the data, and it's when you put it into this whole bucket of all this information on the cloud, we refer to it as everybody, you can't go online and look at www.cloud, but everybody's putting stuff there. So you're getting all this data on the cloud. So can an individual farmer go in and see where they rate? Do they have an idea of saying, well, here's what I'm doing to my operation, and this looks to be the norm among dairy farmers?
Most of our data is in the aggregate, you know, so it's a protection, a privacy protection for the individual farmer. There are a lot of folks who would use the information wisely and carefully. Unfortunately, there may be those who don't. So most of the data we have is an aggregate. That does not mean that individual farmers might be doing some of this, taking it to the next level to look at their own operations, but that's their information and they can use the way they need to.
You know, when we talk about information, I just have to add one kind of general question. There's been a lot of publicity that dairy farmers are having a hard time. They're not the only ones, but we don't have time for another whole podcast here about what are the issues, but I am curious. What are the other broader problems that are challenging to the dairy farmers that are causing a number have gone out of business around the country? You know, in general, what are those issues?
So, yeah, dairy farmers have faced a lot of challenges over the last several years economically. I always tell people, you know, our milk check that we're receiving in the last couple months has been the same price that it was in the 1980s, but every other input cost has gone up. We've become more efficient, and dairy farmers are always creative thinkers, innovators. They're thinking outside the box to make themselves more efficient. So I know that we're going to continue to do that, but definitely our pricing system, which is, as you said, an entirely another podcast, an entirely another like 4-year college degree. there are some things that we need to make changes on. And I think as an industry, we're in a place now, maybe more than ever, that we can come together and hopefully make some changes and have a positive impact for, you know, the generations after us.
You mentioned the 4-year college degree. You got one or two. I'm not sure how many, but you count yourself as an environmental scientist. At what point in your journey you said, I'm going back to the farm? Because there was a time where you must have left the farm or gone into these studies where that wasn't necessarily in the plans. So how did you get down the road into this journey that you're in now?
Yes, when I left the farm, I did not think I was coming back, which seems kind of crazy to think about now when I share every single day about my love for dairy farming. I can't imagine doing anything else. I also like to say I think my dad always had a plan. When I was in high school and in college, we were redoing all of our dairy regulations in our state, and I remember hearing my dad repeatedly say, I wish we had someone that could talk their language and talk ours and be a great communicator before us. We all want the same things. We want to protect our land. We want to protect our soil and our water. We just have to communicate better. And so as I was going to school, I fell in love with the environmental science degree with a focus in, you know, soil chemistry and policy and law. Somewhere along the way, I think I was like, oh, my dad was right. This would be a great fit. And so I ended up coming back to the farm. I married my husband, who is also a fifth-generation dairy farmer, and we now live on his family farm. And so it really, you know, it was just like a natural fit once I got that environmental degree to really focus on dairy environmental.
Well, and you're raising some girls that might grow up and be dairy farmers themselves, too. Krista, how about you? What was your journey to have gone from the farm in Georgia and through your education? You ended up at the USDA and now you're dairy industry.
You know, it's an interesting story in that I wanted to do anything but agriculture as well. I grew up on a peanut farm. I grew up a little spoiled. I have to admit that. My parents were going through tough times when I graduated from college. I had studied journalism and they told me to do anything but agriculture. They were hanging on by dental floss, I mean, to our family farm at the time. So I went in a different direction, went to Washington, D.C., worked for a member of Congress who represented my home area, served on the Ag Committee. And he asked me, to get involved in ag policy, to work on a farm bill. And I said, I don't know enough to know about it. And then I realized by his face that he was not asking a question. He was telling me that I was going to get involved in ag policy. And really, the rest is my history. I loved it. I knew more than I thought I did. And I realized that even if I was not going to be on the farm, I could contribute to the industry that I loved. And I've been doing that ever since.
I can say amen to those stories. I left the farm thinking that I didn't think I was going to come back and farm. I've ended up spending my entire life working for and with farmers, and they're great people. And it's encouraging to see people like yourself that are in the industry and supporting the industry, your organization that's doing things for the industry and trying to get better and get that message out to consumers and saying we keep improving all the time. If people want to learn more about that, where do they go?
There's a lot of information out there. And I also very much encourage your listening audience to talk to a dairy farmer like Tara. Get it firsthand. Go visit a dairy. Follow a dairy farmer. Learn firsthand. Don't let anybody else filter the information for you. They are heart and soul of what's happening in this industry.
Yeah, and I would just second that. Definitely find a dairy farmer to follow on Instagram. I share online as the New Mexico Milkmaid. I'm most active on Instagram and Facebook as the New Mexico Milkmaid, so you can find me everywhere at New Mexico Milkmaid. And then every Friday, I actually have a hashtag I share that's farmer to follow. And they're usually dairy farmers. A lot of them are women farmers. But I share all sorts of different farmers, vegetable farmers, veal farmers, dairy farmers, everything that I can get my hands on to try to help my followers find even more farmers that are doing different things. And it gives them a chance to see how diverse our industry can be. And so, yeah, get out. There's lots of great people to follow online.
Well, and we're going to have a podcast for you to be able to link for people to listen to this conversation. And thank you for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.